I remember during my seminary years that on occasion I had the unfortunate task of having to read certain modern contemporary biblical scholars who made the absurd assertions that our Lord in the Gospels never claims to be God. Sort of this very strange materialistic sort of counting of words, because our Lord never says, I am God, in those exact terms. But our Lord on many occasions does identify himself very clearly with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And today's gospel is, of course, a perfect example of this, where the result of our Lord's speech to the Jews is that they pick up stones to throw at him, because in their mind, in their minds that were not open to the truth, they accused him of blasphemy, because he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so throughout this passage today, our Lord is asserting his divinity before the Jews, and that he has even more authority than Abraham, in whom they put all their trust. And they had this kind of confidence in their physical relationship to Abraham, the genealogical relationship to the father of their nation. And yet, as we hear in the first reading today from the book of Genesis, God established a covenant with Abraham, and yes, he promised him progeny, but it was a covenant. God would fulfill his promises, but there were expectations on the part of Abraham and his people. On your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages. And so when St. Paul in his letters and in the letter to the Hebrew talks about Abraham as the father of the nation of Israel, he also speaks about Abraham as the father of all those who follow God in the spirit of faith. Our Lord, in today's reading from Genesis, promised that the land that he had given to Abraham would be their permanent possession, he and his people and all of his descendants, the land of Canaan. But we're told in the letter to the Hebrews that Abraham dwelt in the promised land in tents, he and his people in tents, because they were looking forward to a city whose foundation was not made by man, but made by God. So even Abraham realized that the ultimate fulfillment of the promise that had been given him was not fulfilled in this life. He looked forward to heaven. And that for Abraham was also a matter of faith. He lived in the promised land, but he was looking forward to something which was not yet fulfilled. And it was his willingness to trust God and believe in him that was credited to him as righteousness. Ultimately, the great sign of Abraham's faith is, of course, his willingness to put Isaac to death at the word of God, because he believed that God would raise him from the dead. And so it is not so much the physical relationship with Abraham that is should be the source of confidence for those who follow God, but rather that they are, in the words of St. Paul, children of Abraham in the matter of faith. And this is what, of course, our Lord was criticizing his listeners for today in today's gospel. Criticizing them because they put so much trust in their physical relationship and so little stock in the necessity of having faith, of which they had little to none. In fact, our Lord criticizes them again because they claim to be having God as their father, and yet he says, you don't even know him. And on the contrary, I know him, and if I told you I didn't, I would be a liar like you, because they were lying by saying they knew God, and our Lord would be lying if he said he did not know him and could not reveal him to them. And so in this age of secularism and a lack of faith, sometimes we also fail to exercise our faith by living at the standard that God has set for us. You know, there are many people that are living blind lives because they do not believe, and sometimes because they've never had the truth preached to them. But for those who have been prepared to believe and who do believe, we are called to live at a higher standard. Our Lord expected his people to believe in him because they had been prepared to believe. And very often it was exactly the contrary that was true. It was the Gentiles who believed. It was the prostitutes and tax collectors who believed, and the teachers of the law did not. And that was not credited to them as justice, but as wickedness. So we who say we believe and do believe what the church teaches need to accept the fullness of our faith, which in the context of this Passion Tide is our willingness to walk with Jesus to Calvary and to accompany him along the way, the whole way, to carry our cross and to do it in company with the Lord, not to be scandalized by the cross as the Jews were, not to seek a greater wisdom than the cross as the Gentiles did, not to run from it as many of the apostles did, but to go there with the Blessed Mother and Saint John. Our Lady is the new Abraham whose relationship to the Lord was closer than any human relationship could even conceived to be, because she was his mother. But the real basis of that relationship was the fact that she heard the word of God and put it into practice, that she believed everything that the Lord said and embraced it wholeheartedly, even to the cross, even at the foot of the cross. May we have Abraham as our father, Mary as our mother, and God as our father, because we have heard God's word through Christ Jesus, put it into practice, and walked with him on the road to Calvary.